بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأنت تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. I start with the name of Allah. I praise him and thank him. I ask Allah to raise the rank of Prophet Muhammad and to protect his nation from whatever he feared for his nation. We have been talking about the history of the Muslims during the rulership of the Umayyads family. And we said that the Umayyads assumed the rulership of the Muslims in the year 41 Hijri, starting with Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan. And when he died in the year 60, his son Yazid took over, and he died in the year 64. The son of Yazid named Muawiyah refused to become a ruler, and he died a short time afterwards. Then the Umayyads dynasty or rulership moved from the Sufyani branch to the Marwani branch by having Marwan ibn al-Hakam the ruler in the year 64. He did not rule for a long time. He died in 65. After Marwan died, his son Abdul Malik became the caliph, and he ruled from 65 until 86. Then, after he died, his son Al-Walid became the ruler, and he ruled from 86 to 96. Then, after Al-Walid died, his brother Sulaiman became the ruler, and he ruled about 3 years, dying in the year 99. And lastly, we mentioned that Sulaiman arranged for his family to pay allegiance to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who is his cousin, because Abdul Malik is the son of Marwan, and Al-Aziz is also the son of Marwan. So Sulaiman and Umar's fathers were brothers, so they were cousins. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz assumed the caliphate in the year 99, and he died in the year 101. He ruled about 2 years and 8 or 5 months, similar to the period of Abu Bakr's rulership. And we mentioned that his mother was a descendant of Umar ibn Khattab from the way of Asim, the son of Umar. And although his rulership was a short time, 2 years, he was the most famous, one of the most famous rulers of the Umayyads because of his justice, his taqwa, his religiousness, his piety. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz became very famous. And people, anytime you say Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, immediately a good picture image comes into their mind about his rulership. We mentioned certain things that he did when he assumed the caliphate, and today we want to mention more of his glowing biography. Inshallah, it is Abu Nu'aym, the great Hafiz, he narrated many of the accounts of Umar's life. And from now on, unless I say differently. When I say Umar, I mean Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. He mentioned many accounts of his life, and he mentioned them in with a good chain of narration, a good sanad. So these were not just accounts that people make up. He mentioned them with a good sanad. He narrated that a man called Riyah, the son of Ubaidah, and he was a very worshipful man, and he accompanied, stuck to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz in his life. This Riyah said, one time Umar ibn Abdul Aziz went out to pray, and there was with him an old man leaning on the hand of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So Riyah, this good man, said, I said to myself, this old man is leaning on the hand of the caliph, so why would he do that? When the prayer was done, I talked to Umar. I said, who was that old man leaning on your hand? He said, Riyah, did you see that man? He said, yes, I did. Umar said, this was Al-Khadir, alayhi salam. I see that you are a righteous man, because to be able to see Al-Khadir, you must be a righteous person. So he said, I see you are a righteous man. It means because you were blessed with seeing him. Of course, this is a good account for Umar himself, so that he was accompanied by Al-Khadir, alayhi salam, other than being good news for this man, Riyah. Many people mentioned that during the caliphate of Umar, radiallahu anhu, the wolves did not attack sheep. One time a person said, I was milking sheep during the time of Umar, means this was his business, his job, that I passed by a shepherd, and I saw in his among his flock 30 wolves. And I thought they were dogs, and I haven't seen wolves before. So I said, oh shepherd, what do you do with all these dogs for your sheep? He said, these are not dogs, my son, these are wolves. He said, how could the wolves be sitting with these sheep, not harming them, not attacking them? So the shepherd said, oh my son, when the head is good, the rest of the body would be good. He meaning when the head of the state, the people who are in charge, are in good condition, then the situation, most of the situations among the people would go also in a good way. And some shepherds said that one day they saw the wolves attacking the sheep. And they said, the shepherd said, this is a sign that the good man had died, means the caliph, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. So they did the math, the calculation, and they found that Umar ibn Abdul Aziz died on the same day that the wolf started attacking the sheep. Malik ibn Dinar was known to be among the great walis, great Sufis. And he said one time, people say, oh, Malik is a zahid, Malik is austere, Malik is, you know, like disinterested in this life. The austere one, the ascetic one, the one who is living a life of away from the mundane enjoyment of this life is Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. The world came to him and he just kicked it away. He left it. One time, a person said, I saw Umar ibn Abdul Aziz before he became a caliph. He was making tawaf around Al-Kaaba. And he said the knot of his izar, you know, when you wear izar, you make a knot. So he said the knot of his izar was hiding under his belly. He was fat. He said all these body folds, there were hiding the knot of the izar. And then after he became a caliph, I looked at him, and if you want me to count his ribs without touching them, I could count them for you. They're all showing out. When he got sick, his cousin Maslama ibn Abd al-Malik came to visit him. Remember, his Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz was married to Fatima, the daughter of Abd al-Malik. So Maslama is his brother-in-law. So he came to visit his brother-in-law, the husband of his sister. And he noticed that he had dirty clothes on, khamis, which was not clean. So Maslama told his sister, who is the wife of the Khalifa, he told her, Fatima, wash the khamis of Amir al-Mu'mineen, of the commander of the believers, wash his khamis, his shirt. She said, Inshallah, we'll do it. So he said, I went, came back after a while, and he had the same shirt with the same condition. He said, Subhanallah, Fatima, didn't I order you to wash the qamis of Amir al-Mu'mineen? People visit him. He is the head of the state, and he's visited by people. So according to him, he should have clean and, you know, good-looking qamis. She said, I swear by Allah, he doesn't have another qamis. This is the only qamis he has. So this is Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz. His father was the ruler of Egypt, Abd al-Aziz. Before he became a caliph, he was the governor of Al-Madina for about, you know, 7 years. His grandfather was the ruler, was a caliph. His wife is the daughter of a ruler, and she is the sister of 4 caliphs. And he only has 1 qamis. He's from like a royal family, a governing family, and he had only 1 qamis. One of his slaves one time said, one time I went to my mistress, means the wife of Umar, Fatima. He said, I wanted to take lunch. So she gave me lentils. She cooked some lentils for him. And she gave him lentils. He said, every day lentils? Every day lentils? She said, Subhanallah, I swear by Allah, this is the food of your master, the commander of the believers. I mean, I'm not giving you like lower quality. I'm giving you the same food as your master eats, lentils. One day, Umar ibn Abd al-Aziz asked his wife, do you have a dirham? It means a silver coin. I want to buy some grapes. She said, no. He said, do you have any copper or brass, you know, coins, which means, you know, cheaper, lower value? She said, no. You are Amir al-Mu'mineen. You cannot get 1 dirham or 1 fils to buy grapes. He said, this situation is easier for me than to have to deal with chains and hellfire. This situation is easier than dealing with the chains in hellfire. After his death, his wife said, there could be men who prayed a lot or fasted a lot, more than Umar used to do. But I haven't seen a man who was more God-fearing than Umar. He used to enter his house. Once he goes into his house, he goes into his area of prayer, his masjid, means his area designated for praying. And he keeps on crying and making dua until he falls asleep, means he just gets tired of praying and crying and making dua. Then he wakes up. Then he does the same he did before, another round of praying, crying, and making dua. And he keeps on this, doing this all night. One day, there was a guest with Umar. Umar called his small girl named Amina, but she did not come to him. And after the guest went away, he said, I called you, why didn't you come? She said, I was naked. I couldn't just come and let the guest see me naked. This is the daughter of the commander of the believers. And so he told his slave, his servant named Muzahim, he said, we have some mattresses there. Why don't you just tear them apart and make like a dress for her from the mattress? So a man who knew of it, of this happening, went to the aunt of this girl. And the aunt is very wealthy. She's from the Umayyad. So she sent a whole box of clothes for her and told her, don't tell your father about it. Because she knew what he would say. Now when Umar became the caliph, his relatives used to have certain stipends that the caliph would give them. So when he became the caliph, he stopped those stipends. He just said, no more. So they came all at his door and they were like growling and unhappy with it. And they talked to his son, Abdul Malik. They told him he was a good man, Abdul Malik. He was very worshipful, just like his father. So they told him, look, the caliphs before your father used to know our place and our status, and they used to give us money and so on, but your father now deprived us from this money. Could you please talk to him about it? So Abdul Malik went, he's a messenger, he said to his father, these people want their money. So Umar said to his father, tell them that he tells you, إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. He quoted an ayah from the Quran that means, I fear that if I disobey my Lord of a great torture on the Day of Judgment. It means you don't deserve this money. So if I give it to you, I'll be sinning. And I fear a great torture on the Day of Judgment if I do it. A man said, all of these narrations are from Abu Nu'aym with a good sanad, you know, with a sahih sanad. He said, a man was visiting Umar in his house. He said, while we were sitting with him, he started crying very intensely. So when his wife saw him crying, she started crying. And then when she started crying, everyone in the house started crying. No one knows why the other person is doing it. Just he started it and they started crying with him. So when he calmed down, his wife asked him, she said, I mean, I bi abi anta. She means I would, you know, offer my father, you know, instead of you, like as a sacrifice to protect you. So she said, what made you cry? He said, I remembered. It occurred to me on the Day of Judgment when people will be split into two groups. A group goes to paradise and a group goes to hellfire. And I was worried. I didn't know which group I would be belonging to. So that's why I cried. So, and then after he said it, he screamed and he fainted. Radiallahu anhu. One day his relatives, those the children of Marwan, came to him. They gathered. And he told them, you have a lot of money. Maybe half of one third of the money of the Muslims is in your hands. Does it seem familiar? The few have the majority of the funds. So he said, you took this money unjustly. Shouldn't you put it in the treasury? Means pay zakah, and you shouldn't put it back. They said, no. Until something, you know, splits our heads from our bodies. We would not give it away until somebody, you know, take our heads off our bodies. They said, we're not going to return it to the people, and the people say, oh, our fathers were unjust. So look at this justification. We don't want to be, you know, said that, oh, that we gave it back, we took it unjustly, now we're returning it, and our fathers were, you know, unjust people. And then our children become poor. We're not going to do that. So Umar told him, I swear by Allah, I know that if I take this money from you now, I took it from you, you will go against me. You will just conspire against me and you would start a fitna. Bloodshed would just start. So he said, just leave me alone. Just get out. I don't want you to be around with me. So he was trying to get that money from them, but he knew that they were in power. They are people who had been in rulership for a while before he came. So they have their connections, so they, if he took them immediately from them, they're going to start some fitna where shed, you know, blood is shed. One day, an elderly woman of his relatives, his aunt, she came and visited him. So when she came at the door of his house, she was riding. So he said, nobody takes her off her animal. He let her come into his house while still riding. And then he helped her dismount. And he seated her next to him by putting two pillows or cushions under her so that she would feel comfortable. And he knew that she was angry. And he knew why she was angry. Because he hadn't given his relatives money. So she came maybe to talk about it. And he started, joking with her a little bit just to make her anger go away. But, it did not work. Then he became serious with her. He said, Aunt, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam died, he left the people on, and the literal one, on an open river. It means he had the money of the treasury open for the Muslims. Whoever needs it, he takes from it. So he said he left the Muslims with an open river, everybody, accessible to the Muslims. And then when he left, means he died, a man after him, Abu Bakr, also left this river accessible to everybody. Means the money was accessible to those who needed. He did not take anything from it. Until came a time when a person became the ruler and he dug a path from the river to his land. He channeled some of the water to his land. And then came other people and started taking channels to their own lands, and they left the river dry. So he means that, the rulers afterwards, they started taking from the Muslims money unjustly, and then was not enough left for the needy Muslims. He said, I swear by Allah, I will shut down all these streams, all these paths, all these channels, until the river goes back to its own course, the first course at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So she understood what he was talking about. But she said, then don't let people cuss your relatives in your presence, means complain about them. He said, they don't cuss them, they just complain to me about them, and I take care of it. So he did not, as I say, show faces to her. He told her what had happened. One of the great people that we mentioned before, Iyas ibn Muawiyah, we said he was a smart judge. We mentioned some story about him. He said, describing Umar's situation, he said, Umar's situation is like a skilled person without tools. This person is skilled in something, but he doesn't have the tools to exercise his skill. It means that this is a good man, but he doesn't have people who help him to carry out what he wants to carry out. And his relatives, of course, we said they were in power, they were unjust, they were taking people's money, they were shedding people's blood. He tried during his 2 years of rulership to remove, to lift off injustice as much as he could. They did not like what he did. He deprived them of money they were used to. And it is mentioned that they poisoned him. He was not as paranoid about checking his food and so on. So they, as mentioned in one narration, they paid some slave to put some poison in his food, and he ate it and died. And there is some detail that we don't need to say. Inshallah, maybe later. Maslama, his cousin, the brother of his wife, he said, one time I went to Umar in a place where he usually stays by himself after Fajr. Nobody bothers him. So a female slave brought a whole platter of dates. And Umar used to love dates a lot. So Umar took a handful of dates and he put it this way up. And he said, Maslama, do you think if a man ate that amount of date, would it be enough for him until the end of the day? He said, I don't know. So he took more. And he said, would this be enough for a man the whole day to eat in that much dates? Be enough? He said, yes, it will be enough for him. He doesn't need to eat anything else. Then he said, okay, so why do we go into hellfire then? Why do we go into hellfire? Means if this is enough for a person to subsist him, why would he want more and then go into hellfire as a result? So Maslama said, no advice has such an effect on me like that statement that he said. One day Abdul Malik, the son of Umar, came to his father and he said, Dad, father, what prevents you from carrying out what you want to carry out? Means to enforce justice, to stop the unjust people from doing what they're doing. Those relatives of us take their money from them that they took unjustly. Why don't you do all these things now, immediately, without delay? I would not worry, his son continued to say. It doesn't worry me. I don't care if while you and I are doing this, that they put us in pots that have boiling water. Means if we were doing this and some people caught us and put us in pots that have boiling water, I wouldn't care. We want to do this. We want to, you know, enforce justice. So Umar said to his son, oh son, I'm training the people, you know, how to deal with hard times, and I'm doing it in a gradual way. I feel that if I suddenly, you know, try to change things, they're going to force me to carry swords against them. Means if they rebel against me, I'm the Khalifa, the Caliph, then what I'm going to do, I'm going to have my army fight them. And then if that happens, then there will be more harm than, you know, benefit happening. So I'm doing it in a slow way and in a gradual way. Again, another time, he told him the same thing. Like, you know, why don't we do it? He told him that, Umar said, the people before me, they have done many knots. And I'm trying to untie these knots one at a time. And if I'm worried that if I try to remove these knots, then I will have a tear. And then I cannot fix it again. So I sometimes tell them something which is true, and I like say firm things, and sometimes I mention something which is worldly, so that they balance and people will accept from me. Subhanallah. He told them, but don't you accept, aren't you happy that there is no day that passes in your father, but he does, you know, establish the truth. He removes injustice from people until he dies. That every day this is happening, that he is establishing the justice and that he is removing all injustice of people. Subhanallah. Inshallah, we have more things to say about Umar. We'll do it inshallah in our next class. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.